That's how we began discussing chatzitza beis hasdarim and the requirement to make sure there are no chatzitzas between teeth before going to the mikvah. The mechaber discusses in Sifkat Dalet. The second part of the mechaber there is based on something the Rush writes in his Kitzur Hilchos Tefillah. The Yesh Noagos Shelo Lachol Basar Biyom Lechdan LeBeis HaTefillah. The women had the practice of not eating meat the day that she would go to the mikvah, meaning the day preceding Leil Tefillah, because meat tends to get stuck between the teeth more than other foods. Even though the woman's going to do a proper chafifa and clean out her teeth and floss them, or make sure to remove any particles anyway, so women were worried that maybe even despite their best efforts, there might be something that remains stuck between the teeth, and therefore the men developed to avoid eating meat, b'yom ha-tfilah, minagafahu. The Mechaber endorses this minag. Pifei Das points out, page Shin and Vav, that mistaber, that this isn't limited to meat. Meat is the classic example of something that tends to get stuck between your teeth, but it's a bad idea to have popcorn that day also. If you have anything that's going to get stuck between your teeth, a woman should avoid eating such foods the day prior to Leil Tevilah. Okay, then, the Rush has a second minag, which the Ramah quotes here. The Ein Lalecho Bein Arachitza L'Tevilah. So, minag number one was not to eat meat B'Yom HaTevilah, and minag number two was not to eat anything between the chafifa and the tevila. Okay, take a look at the Be'er Hagra here in Oz Kaf Beis. On the first minute, not eating meat, the Yom HaTevila, the goat is mitzayin, the Gemara in Chulan and Daf Kafei. The Isser of eating a Gvina L'Acher Basar. So the Gaon points out that this minag is like that din of Basar Ben Ashinayim, according to those Rishonim, the din of Hamtana between Basar and Gvina, according to those Rishonim that understand it's out of a concern of Basar Ben Ashinayim, just like you have that model in Halacha, according to some. That the reason you're not allowed to, the reason you have to wait between meat and milk is because of a concern of basar bein shinayim. This minhag also developed because of a concern of basar bein ha-shinayim. The way the Shari Tefillah explains it, Shari Tefillah in Siman Lamed Aleph, the Gaon is making a more precise point that you could have said that even though there's a concern of basar bein shinayim, as long as you clean your floss your teeth after you eat meat, maybe you should be able to have milk right away. So you see that even if you're going to floss it properly, there's still an isser of having milk right after meat. So here too, even if you'll say that you'll floss your teeth properly after eating meat, it's still appropriate, and the minhag developed, not to eat meat beyond tefillah under any circumstances, because bottom line, as good a job as you do, there's a possibility that maybe you won't do a sufficient job. That's why the din is to require waiting between milk and meat, according to those who showed him, and that between meat and milk, and that's why the minhag developed to require to abstain from eating meat for Yom HaTevilah. The Shari Tevilah also points out that even though the reason for the minhag is a concern of stuff that's going to get caught between your teeth, if you have a type of meat, you have ground meat, you have something that we're not worried about getting caught between your teeth, so there's a certain low plug within this minhag, that the minhag is to avoid eating meat beyond tefillah, whatever form, whatever flavor, whatever consistency that meat has. And of course, if some zaman is agreeing to this approach, that the minhag is to avoid all meat across the board, beyond tefillah. The Taz here in Sifkat and Cafe writes, "Ubishabes v'yantiv haminig she'ochlin basar." Let's say a woman's Leil Tevilah is Motzei Shabbos. So the minhag is that Shabbos Yantiv, you don't have to avoid eating meat, you just have to be careful to clean out your teeth properly after Shabbos or after Yantiv. So So even though in general there's a minhag to avoid eating meat b'yom ha'tefillah, the Taz says that this minhag was not generally accepted on Shabbos v'yantiv. What about Purim? So ordinarily I wouldn't spend so much time talking about Purim, but happens to be Tanis Esther today. So Rav Avadia has an arichas here on page Kuf Kafe of Taras Habayis. If a woman's lel tefillah is Mosei Purim, is she allowed to eat meat on Purim? After all, the din is an onein, also is allowed to eat basar riayin on Purim. Lo asi esse davelus diach v'dachi esse de divrei kabbalah of simcha mishta b'Purim. That's the Pesach of the Mechaber in the very end of Hilchos Purim. So kosher kain, if we're even mekel on the iser of basar v'yayin for an onein, so kosher kain, we should be mekel on what's only a minug to avoid achilas basar v'yom ha'tefillah, so women should be able to eat meat on Purim. However, he quotes other achronim who are machmir, shuvas dvar Moshe, that since the chiv of nashim v'achilas basar is not as significant when it comes to Purim, even on Yontiv, where there may be a chiyah basar for men, chiyah simcha for women is only tachshit and bigdei savonim, like the Rambam Perek Vav Yontiv. So a woman shouldn't eat basar on Purim. There's no chiyah. Even though it's arguable that the nature of the Chiyuve Purim are fundamentally different than Yantiv, a different kind of Chiyuve Simcha. So maybe you could argue there's more of a reason to eat Basar. Okay. So he quotes Achronim in both directions. And he says, anyway, maybe it could be Mitzarif the Me'iri that Basar ben Hashinayim is in Chotzeis to begin with. So it sounds like there is definitely what to rely on to have women whose Leil Tefillah is Mosei Purim eat meat on Purim. Okay, so the Taz, there were two minhagim that we just discussed. The Mechaber quotes one, the Ramos quotes the other. First minhag was to avoid eating meat beyond Tefillah. Second minhag is to avoid eating anything between Chafif and Tefillah. The Taz, when he says you're Mekel on Shabbos and Yantav, only addresses the first minhag. What about the second minhag? What about not eating between Chafif and Tefillah? Let's say a woman is going to the mikvah on Friday night, and the way the schedule works out, she's going to have, or wants to have her Friday night suda first. Let's say it's a summer, and you make Shabbos early, and you're only going to the mikvah after the suda finished. So can you have meat at the Friday night suda, even though it's Bein Chafifa L'Tevila? Sidri Tari here, Sifkata Mem Tes, says no. The Taz is only Mekel on minhag number one. Minhag number two, you have to be Machmir on Friday night. Why? He's concerned that since Kevin Chu Samach L'Tevila, right, so Sidri Tari, Sifkata Mem Tes, Shemela Tanakir Yafa Mitok Shemuhu L'Besa, that since she's going to be in a rush, you're eating right before you go into the mikvah, Bein Chafifa L'Tevila, so maybe she's not going to be as careful to properly clean out her teeth, and therefore the minhag of not eating between Chafif and Tefillah, eating anything, should be upheld even on Friday night. So Paskin's Badi Yosholchan, Sifkatan Kuf Peches, and the Be'urim there, Sifkatan Kuf Peches, and the Be'urim like the Sidre Tar. However, the Shari Tefillah Paskins that you're allowed to be Mako if there are guests or there are children at home, and it's going to be very apparent if the mother is sitting at the table not eating anything during the Shabbos Suda. So if there is a need to be Mako, Shari Tefillah Paskins, you can be Mako, just like you're Mako in minute number one, to eat meat on Shabbos. If Leil Tefillah is Motzei Shabbos, you could also be Mako in minute number two, to eat Bein Chafifa Lit Tevila Friday night, and you'll just make sure to clean out your teeth properly again before the Tevila. So, Paskins of Avadia, page Kuf Kaf Vav Kuf Kaf Zayin, and so Paskins Rabbi Willick. Rav Schechter has raised the question not necessarily lemaisa, but to the extent that the general question is, if you have a minhag that developed because of a specific practical concern, and that specific practical concern is no longer relevant, is the binding of the minhag of the is the binding nature of the minhag the same? So this is an example: the minhag to avoid eating meat beyom tefillah came to being because of the difficulty of properly cleaning out teeth. Now we have better ways of cleaning out teeth. Now we have dental floss. So maybe the reason for the original minhag doesn't apply in the same force that it used to. So maybe, would anyone say, I'm not sure if anyone does say this, but could you theoretically entertain an approach that the minhag is not as significant anymore because the original reason no longer applies? So Rav Schechter has raised that, at least rhetorically, as a model for this general question of what do you do if the reason for a minhag no longer applies. Let's discuss now some specific chatzitza issues as relate to teeth. There's a famous comment of the Chachmas Adam that is totally rejected by all the later poskim. The Chachmas Adam, the very end of Hilchos Nida, Klal, not the very end, but towards the end, Klal Kuf Yutes Os Yuches. The Chachmas Adam writes, Masha sosmin nikve yashen ayde rofe, kedesh shaloti kanes ba ruach, chotzeitz, that's what we call a cavity. If you have a filling in a cavity, that is a chatzitza. He discusses, he analyzes that here on the Bina Sadam on the bottom, so the Chachmas on the right here, that bottom line, he's concerned that something's the refua, it's still potentially chotzeis, it's considered makbid. So Chacham Sadan Paskins, that if you have a fill cavity, that's a chatzitza. Which would mean that most women would never be mutaris abalein, because if you take a random sample of the population, you'll probably find that the vast majority of people have fillings. So this position of the Chachmas Adam is rejected by just about all of the later poskim. Rav Moshe thinks that even the Chachmas Adam would be mekel now. Rav Moshe, in his tshuva about temporary fillings, Chelek Aleph Simen Sadi Zayin Anavav, Chelek Aleph Simen Sadi Zayin Anavav, argues that even according to Chachmas Adam was talking about a more rudimentary kind of filling. But the fillings that we have nowadays, which don't prevent you from eating properly, they don't cause any long-term pain, they're not even ugly, they're just, they're well placed in the tooth so that no one would ever notice them, and it has no effect on your behavior, on your activity. So that, even the Chachmas Adam may agree, is not considered a chatzitza. Whether or not that's the case for the Chachmas Adam, but all the later poskim reject this Chachmas Adam lahalacha. What's less clear is, what about a temporary filling where there has to be more dental work done later, and there's a temporary filling that's going to be replaced with some more permanent work down the road? That's the topic of that Shuvan Rav Moshe, Chelek Aleph, Simen Tzadi Zayin, where Rav Moshe argues that the combination of factors allow you to be makel for a temporary filling. That number one, as you might have argued, that it's equivalent to a ring. Just like the ring, the Raavad's ring, if you remove it for leisure for some other occasion, constitutes a chatzitza, even though right now you don't want to remove it. So you would have argued that the temporary filling is going to be removed down the road as well. So maybe that should be a chatzitza, just like the tabas. So Moshe says, no, it's better than a tabas, because, number one, there's no way that this woman is going to remove the filling on her own, the temporary filling. You need a doctor to do it. So she can't do it on her own. She won't do it on her own. There's no hecha timsa. The ring, she could theoretically remove at any point to nido or for whatever purpose. Here, there's no way she's removing it on her own. Number two, as soon as the dentist is going to remove this filling, he's going to put in a permanent filling. So it's ke'ilu, all part of one continuum, that it's not just there to be removed and that's it, but it's when it's removed, it'll be replaced with something permanent. And number three, anyway, it's Beis Hasarim. And Beis Hasarim, as we pointed out, you have some Rishonim who hold this only Chatzis Derabanan. So there's more room to be Mekel and a Beis Hasarim. Okay, that's where Moshe's Tshuva, that temporary fillings are not considered a chatzitza. Temporary fillings in the mouth are not considered a chatzitza for that reason. In the end of the Sefer Ma'ari Kohen, he has a very brief two-word tshuva from Reb Chaim Kanievsky that indicates that the position of the Chazon Ish was that even a temporary filling does constitute a chatzitza. Shari Tfila, Simen Lamed Dalid, notes that in order to really be mekel about a temporary filling, you have to ascertain that the filling is there for at least 30 days. And just like according to some shitas, a kesher shalchayam hilchos Shabbos is 30 days, so it has to be there for 30 days. 30 days from when? So he writes the answer to Shalom Zalman this question. 30 days from the day the filling was put in, or 30 days from the Yom HaTvila? What makes it permanent? At the time that you're going to the mikveh, it's going to be, or what makes it sufficiently permanent to be comfortable with? Is it that from the time you're going to the mikveh, it's going to be there for another 30 days? Or even if it's been there for 3 weeks and it'll be taken out in a week, but you have 30 days total, is that sufficient as well? So he quotes from Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman thought that in principle, it's sufficient to count the 30 days from the day that you put in the filling. But in practice, Rav Shlomo Zalman thought that you should be mafmir, that you count the 30 days from the Yom HaTvila. So the only time in which you'd be mekel to go to the mikvah, the temporary filling, is where the temporary filling is going to remain in place for at least 30 days after the Yom HaTvila. However, because Rav Shlomo Zalman said you could do the following. You could whisper to the husband, the Rav could whisper to the husband, that you can tell your wife, after she goes to the mikveh, she went to the mikveh having in mind that it's going to be there for another 30 days. After she goes to the mikveh with that in mind, you can tell her that if she wants to go to the dentist earlier to have it replaced, she's allowed to do that. Because it's dependent on her mindset at the time that she went to the mikveh, and not, as long as it's going to be there for 30 days total. Even if it's not going to be there for 30 days from the time of tefillah, as long as she had in her mindset for the time of tefillah, it's going to be there for another 30 days, that's sufficient, and you could tell her she could have it out earlier after the fact. Okay, Shari Tefillah says, Shas Tzach, there's what to talk about to be mekel, even if it's only there for 7 days. That was like the Chavis Yar that we spoke about earlier. Fine. Piskei Das also, page Shin Sadi Aleph, quotes from Rav Yashiv. The Rav Yashiv said, you need 30 days from the Yom HaTvilah. And that's what the Baal Yishulchan writes as well. Baal Yishulchan Sivkatan Kuf Ayin Tes. Baal Yishulchan Sivkatan Kuf Ayin Tes. And the Shevet Levi has these 30 days. The Shevet Levi says, if there's a need to be made for less than 30 days, you can ask a Shaila. Rav Avadya, in the text on the top of the Taras Abayis, doesn't distinguish between any amount of time. He's Mekel on a temporary filling across the board. He doesn't really explain, so far as I can tell on the bottom, what that's based on, but he seems to assume that a temporary filling is not a chatzitza at all. And once that's the case, it doesn't really make a difference if you're buying into svaras along the line of Ramosha's, that you're not going to take it out on your own, it's going to be replaced, based on starim. If you're arguing along those lines, fundamentally it shouldn't make a difference how long it's going to be in there for. Rav Moshe himself doesn't seem to indicate a difference as far as how long it's going to be there. So Rav Avadya seems to be mekel across the board. Okay, what about braces? Minchas Yitzchak Chelik Vav Simen Pei Vav. Minchas Yitzchak Chelik Vav Simen Pei Vav is asked about braces. Does that constitute a chatzitza? So he says, regarding a woman where the doctors put on braces because they're worried that the teeth are going to fall out without them, and there's no way of taking them out on your own. So he quotes from the Abezdin of Papa. That should be equivalent to a filling of a cavity. So if you're makel for a filling, even for if you're makel for a temporary filling, then you'd be makel here as well. All the same, you can't take it out on your own. Only the doctor's going to take it out. And there's a medical reason. So if you're going to be makel for fillings, you can be makel here as well. Ramosha is a little bit less excited. Ramosha chelik aleph simen sadivav writes as follows. Ha'isha amra shachut barzel hu rafoi, it's loose, acharei avor ezizman, nehidu karofe, dinkein efshir lava shamayim im haisa pasachas pia. So maybe it's not a chatzitza because it's really right to be a smayim because the water can get underneath the braces. And it's based on starim. She doesn't have to open her mouth anyway. But that which the shoal says is not considered makbid, not so pashut. Because if not for the knee, she would be makbid. Ela what? It's only a miut. Based on starim, which is only the rabbanon according to many. So trade the rabbanon. So if you want to be makel, ein limchas biyado, if it doesn't prevent you from eating. That's a reluctant kula. Shari Tvila suggests that you should distinguish between braces that are put on for cosmetic reasons and braces that are put on for medical reasons. If you put on braces for medical reasons, so then you can be mitzarei if those shitas that something lerefua is not chotzeitz. If you're putting it only for cosmetic reasons, that's potentially worse because there's no refua. And he says Rav Yashiv was masking to that distinction. Some say this is potentially worse if it's for cosmetic reasons, because even if you're going to be mako, in general, as we discussed last time, for things that are lanoi, that's only if it's lanoi right now. But when you're wearing braces, it's not lanoi now, it's lanoi for later. If it's only for cosmetic reasons, now it's ugly. You have the braces now so that the teeth will look better down the road. You can't tell me that's considered noi because not know at the moment. Shevet Alevi is a little more makel. Chela Gitzim and Kufnun. Chela Gitzim and Kufnun. Tshuva to Rav Naiman, who's the Belzer Dayan in Montreal, who I think is somehow related to Oren, but he's not here to ask how. A young woman with crooked teeth, and the only way to solve the problem is with braces. They have to be there for a year and a half. So he says the following. Right now, the woman is unattractive. Meguna Labaila. And we're very concerned that a woman should be attractive, Labaila. And it's based on starm anyway. The suffix meet a makbid on a drabbanon, and you can't remove it even if you wanted to for a long time. And he writes that in yane tikune shinayim heim nasu kol kach chelak mechayim regilim ad shekemat ein makpidim klal bekaela, that this has become so much a part of society to take care of our teeth and do things like this that no one gives it a second thought. V'ayos kam tovu l'shalom b'esa, it's good for shalom bayis, so pasha you can be makel. Rav Avadya's Meiko, Pesh Kufim Dalit, even if it's Lanoi, because, again, at the moment you don't intend to remove it. And even if it's Lanoi, you quote some who say that it's never totally Lanoi. There's always a medical component or medical calculation as well. It's not done purely for cosmetic reasons, because there are some medical concerns that could be at play as well, which I wanted to ask Dr. Strauch after Mincha, what the medical perspective on this is, but I wasn't able to catch it. Okay. Now we're going to briefly touch on some of the other issues that we have in the balance of Siman Kuf Tzadik Ches. A lot of this we've already touched on through the back door to the first half of the Siman. But let's go through some of what we have in terms of Tzuras HaTefila, Makom HaTefila. The Mechaber in Kaf Ches, as we noted before, that Lo Sochas B'Chaverta B'Yadeh B'Shas Tefila, so someone else shouldn't be holding on to the Toveles, Elam Kein Rav Sayada Kedesh Shevo Amayim B'Makam Achizas Yadeh, unless she already wet her hands, preferably with the Nea Mikvah. V'Imi Dicha Yadeh B'Mayim Tefila Shari Shemashka Tefech Shal Yadeh Chibur L'Mei Mikvah. So then that's considered Chibur, if she wet her hands with the Mikvah water, then that's what the Shach says here in Lamazayin, as the dafka be mei mikvah, as opposed to the Taz. So if you if someone else wets their hands with mei mikvah and then touches the tavelas, that's not a chazitza. Then the Mechaber writes in Siflamid, Eina tzricha like bi ragleha b'shas tefila. So a woman doesn't have to lift up her legs when she goes to the mikvah. In ein sham tit, if there's no tit, if there's tit, so the tit, if the tit comes on her foot before she goes into the mikvah, that would be a chatzitza. If she's going into the mikvah and the water touches her feet, so then that's like siv kafes. So now, even if she's going to, her feet are going to touch the floor afterwards, that doesn't constitute a chatzitza. Renei, shamayi makdimin liragleha. The Shach discusses here, the Taz in Sivkata Lamed, Shach in Sivkata Mem, that what happens if there is tit. So even there it's not so clear. We'll see in a moment that there is tit, maybe she shouldn't go to the mikvah at all. But bottom line, the general practice is that women do keep their feet on the floor of the mikvah, unless there's tit, which is not, then there's what to talk about, but that's not the standard for our mikvahs, which are a lot cleaner than mikvahs used to be. Okay, Siflam and Aleph is a din of Tefillah B'Kelim, which is not Solomaisa. There's more of a mikvahs to go, the very long Taz here, but we're not going to spend time on that. Simen Lama Gimel. Before we see Siflam and Gimel, let's look at the Gemara on Samach Vav Amud Beis. Before we do that, I just had a postscript to last year, which I have forgotten to mention before. We discussed last on the Machlokas, the Shach and the Taz, as far as the Minog to be makbid on netilas tzipranayim kodem tefila, and what happens if a woman neglected to cut her nails properly before tefila. So the Taz thinks that if lanza and bila, there's no need to be machmir to require another tefila, because ne'ikar adin, we assume that that's only a chumra because of the concern of tit. So if the nails were clean, then you don't have to worry, even if she hadn't cut her nails beforehand. And then the related position of the Taz is that on Friday night, if a woman failed to cut her nails before Shabbos, then there's no need to look for an achri, and why get into the question of a shvus, even if it's a makom mitzvah, shvus to shvus makom mitzvah, if it is that, lachish and zif legufa, no need to get into that shayla, no need for an achri, as long as her nails are clean, she go to the mikvah even if she didn't cut them. The Shach is of the opinion that the requirement is more of a meikar din requirement, because of the concern of the Ravan, that maybe we say, kol omen the gazis, kagazis dami, And therefore, even if Lansa Itzel Baila, a woman should go back to the mikveh again, if possible. And therefore, on Friday night, a woman should look for a nachri to cut her nails. So presumably these two positions, the Friday night position and the general position, go together, which is why I'm a little bit confused. In some of the Svarim, they seem to split the psak. The Badr Shulchan, in principle, assumes like the Taz, that Meikar Adin, we're not worried about the Tzipranayim as such if there's no dirt, and therefore, even if Lansay Tzabayla, or the Badr Shulchan is willing to Meikal, if the night passes even low Lansay Tzabayla, not to have to go to the mikveh again, but yet he seems to be to assume that Friday night you should have enough available to cut nails if that comes up. So I'm not sure how that works. How you split that psak. Unless independently, you believe that it's not such a. The issue of shvus is sufficient makom mitzvah and is considered lachish of the guf, and therefore shvus to shvus, that you can be makom of that even if mikra din, you're not really bothered by the chatzis implications. Okay, fine. So let's look at the Gemara here in Samach Vav Amud Beis, the very bottom. Amar Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Isha Lo Titpal B'Namal. A woman shouldn't go to the mikveh in a namal. What's a namal? Rashi says port. Which translates as port. Malkam shasvinos nikbos shemalos tit mechotzeitz. What's the problem? Rashi says, if you go to the mikveh in a port, there's a lot of tit, and the tit's going to move around and will form a chatzitza. Afal gav the hashta leka, even though right now you don't see any tit. Amar Barduni Nafal. We're still worried about Barduni Nafal. What does that mean, Rashi? Barduni Nafal atit mala. Barduni any yode lashana. Venira shulashan shichshach. Shekisha shichshacha regla abimayim. Bitseisa Nafal. So Rashi says that even though right now there's no tit, but maybe Barduni Nafal, when she rubs her feet against the surface on the way out of the mikveh, there was tit. The tit's going to fall off when she's rubbing her feet against the surface of where she's being tavelas. And when she comes out, it'll look like there was no tit, but we wouldn't realize that b'shas tefila there really was tit. So according to Rashi, the reason of lo titbal ben amal is out of a concern that maybe there was tit that we don't know about, and that has to do with chatzitza. Yeah. Tosus here argues, Dibramaskil Isha Latitbal Ben Amal Samachvav Amud Beis. Quotes Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam Nira Gepesha Ben Echananel Latitbal Ben Amal, nothing to do with tit. Kibene Adam Mitzuyin Sham. There are people around, it's public. With the Isa, and she's afraid of the publicity. So she's going to be in a rush to complete the tefillah, to get out of there as soon as possible. So nothing to do with tit. The reason all the tit amal is because her worried she's not going to do a proper tefillah because she's in a rush to get out of the public eye. So what does Barduni mean? So Rabbeinu Tam says it's bedad yuni, lashon nedida, a movement. Rabbeinu Chananel pirish lashon huchlaka, the nafal birida, she's got a trip. Arav mefarish mefas, nifsi, mishum tznias. Okay. So whatever the taish in the word bedyuni is, according to this trot, the concern of mamal, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is not of tit, but of publicity. However, Rabbeinu Tam does say there that Bidi Eved, if she did go to a mikveh, Bin Amal, Bidi Eved, the tefillah is going to be kasher. The Dark Moshe quotes from Rabbeinu Yeruchim that the concern of being in a public place that Rabbeinu Tam emphasizes is not exhaustive, meaning that there could be other situations where a woman is going to rush her tefillah or attempt to rush her tefillah, where we wouldn't condone tefillah under those circumstances either. So, for example, if it's in a place where it's dangerous, you're worried that there are people that are going to harm her, so a woman shouldn't go to the mikvah under such circumstances either, because they're worried that she's going to do a rushed job and not give the tefillah the proper attention. By the Shulchan Sefkatan Reish Samach Vav, actually before that, let's read the Mechaber inside. Sif Lam Gimel, Lo Titbal B'malkam Shiesh B'karki Isa Tit, Mishim Chatzitza. So that's Rashi's Namal. A woman shouldn't go to the mikvah where there's tit on the surface, on the bottom, because of a sort of chasitza. Alam kein titein alav zimoros, unless you put leaves on the bottom. V'chayot v'am dar v'shein v'kabla shem tumma, v'im tabla shalo asa, v'im tabla, yesh omim shalo asa la tefila. If she did go to the mikvah under such circumstances, according to Rashi at least, the tefila may not count, if that's shot in namal. Lamed Dalet, Lo Titbal B'Makom Sheyesh Chashash Sheyiru B'nei Adam. That's a Bein Tam's Namal. A woman shouldn't go to the mitzvah where there's a concern that people are going to see her. If they should be Tokachman Beharis Litbal, the Einam Midakdekas B'Tvila. She's not going to be careful. Miyubidi Ever Also La Tvila. If she did go to the mitzvah under such circumstances, it's a good Tvila. Again, Rabbeinu Yeruchim says, Lav Dafka, where there are people that are going to see her, but also in a place where it's dangerous. Vad Shulchan in Sukkot and Reish Samach Vav, Kros Achronim would discuss, does this apply to other situations that aren't discussed in the Gemara, aren't discussed in Rishonim? Let's say you have a mikvah that's infested with frogs. Not recommended. But is there a technical impediment to a woman going in such a mikvah? Or let's say it's too hot. Or let's say it's too cold. Or a divrei malkiel, let's say it's too deep. So that's the machlokes achronim. Do we advise against going to a mikvah that's not going to be comfortable, where a woman may be rushed to get out as soon as possible, practically speaking, whether or not, presumably, l'achar maisa, we'd be makel, like the case of the public place, but l'chachila, for many reasons, it's a good idea to have a comfortable mikvah, a mikvah as comfortable as possible, to not have a situation where a woman may be inclined to rush through things. Yisif Mem, the Mechaber writes, Sarach Lahamed al Gaba Yehudis Gedola Yosem Yud Beis Shonov Yamecha B'Shashi Tavela. So it has to be a mikvah attendant who is a Jewish woman over the age of Bas Mitzvah. Shetira shelo yishar misar rosha tzafa p'nei mayim. Why do you need someone watching? To make sure that there's no hair that's above the waterline. Now, the woman's going down on her own. She can't necessarily be fully conscious or cognizant of whether there's anything sticking out. So you have to have someone there to make sure that the hair is totally submerged. V'm eila misha tamen al gaba. Let's say there's no one available. Oh, Shuba Laila, or it's at night and it's dark. Tichrach Sarah al Rosha, she should tie up her hair. The Chutei Tzemer, Ruzua, Shevarosha, in a way that there's less of a concern that anything is going to stick out. Okay. So this requirement that a dafka be a woman who's above the age of 12, the Beis Yosef quotes from the Kolbo and the Agur, they actually have a lashon, the Kolbo has a lashon, that's how the Beis Yosef quotes it, Isha Yehudis Obaila, or her husband. Onara shi gadol yosem yibbeis shanem yom echad. In the Hagos Va'aros, he points out, in the Agur, it doesn't say Baila, even though the Kolba does have Baila. So that's like the Chubas Nodim Yehuda we'll get to in a few moments. Take a look at the Gaon here in Sivkata Memhei. Yehudis Gedola, Debedavar Dischazik Yisura, Einu Naman HaKatan. Afila Bedarbada. Why do you need a Gedola? Why do you need someone over Bas Mitzvah? Because here we're talking about something Dischazik Yisura, there's a Cheskas Yisur. So in order to remove a woman from the Cheskas Tumma, Cheskas Yisur, you need a Bardas, someone who has Namanus. So because this is Chazak Yisura, Kitana wouldn't have Namanus. What about a non-observant woman? So Ramosha discusses this, or a Mumeris, or Koferis. Ramosha discusses this, Yeridea Felik Aleph Simon Kofei. Yeridea Felik Aleph Simon Kofei. Ramosha assumes if someone herself doesn't believe in Taras HaMishpacha, then she can serve as a mikvah attendant. Mumeris Tvila is no good. Okay, Piskei Tshuva quotes in Simon Kuf Sarihei, that's the Simon of Harchakos of Katan Beis, from the Nod Mihuda, a situation in which there are no other Jews in town, and the only person who possibly could observe the Tvila is a woman's husband. So Nod Mihuda's Meiko, under those circumstances, to allow the husband to be there to check that the tefillah is kedin. What happens if you had the ability of using a mikvah attendant and didn't, and you didn't tie up your hair the way the Mechaber recommends? So Pesach Shuvah here in Sifkat and Kaf Beis, quotes the Meshuvah Shuvah Kivager, Simon Kuf Yudalid, that if she didn't do this tikkun of tying up her hair, and she went to the mikvah on her own, lo also tvila, doesn't count. So those women in Israel are petitioning the Supreme Court that you should be allowed to go to the mikvah without a balanit present, aren't really helping themselves, because according to Yikveg, even b'di'eved, lo also hatvila. I think we'll stop here. You should just on your own tie up the loose ends, pardon the pun, at the end of Simon Kuf Sarihes, the sifan we didn't see together, at least just see the Mechaber Shach and Piskei Tshuva. I may make a couple more brief aris next time, but next time we will work on Simon Vav, Simon Reis, sorry, Birchas HaTevila. It's a one si'if Simon with very long Taz and Shach. I don't think it would hurt you to see the Taz here also. But that will be our focus for next time. And then, I still haven't decided where we're doing that. Whether we're going to do Vestas before Hachakos or Hachakos before Vestas. But we should hopefully be able to tell you that on Monday. The next Shir will be Monday, Mirz Hashem. Fairly confirmed.